Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness. Brought to you by Forever Family Foundation. On the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I call your name. The echo is haunting. The echo is always the same. I call your name. The echo is haunting. An echo can never be changed, so I call your name. Your name.
Good evening and welcome to Signs of Life Radio. I'm Kimberly Saavedra, director of the Comlock Center, and I, along with Dr. Betty J. Kovach and Janet Mayer, are your co-hosts for this evening's Personal Experiences program on Signs of Life. And that means this is the space where you are free to call in and share some of your personal experiences, your anomalous experiences, your experiences in sharing those things with people. And we can all work together on how to move forward, confront them together, address the future, and see what's on the horizon for us. And as you know, Forever Family Foundation is a global 100% volunteer nonprofit, and they operate from the premise that life does not end with physical death. And Forever Family furthers the understanding of afterlife science and the survival of consciousness, as well as offer support to the bereaved. So we encourage you to show up for this show, to give what you have to give. It all makes us a little braver each time when we can step up and share. And everyone has a story to share. So our call-in numbers are 888-627-6008 and 323-744-4831. And join us, Betty, Janet. Hello. Welcome, everyone.
Thank you, Kimberly.
Thank you, Kim.
We have someone? Do we have someone on the line?
We have a caller already. Rebecca, thanks for calling and waiting till we got through the introduction. Welcome to the program.
How are you?
I'm good. How about you? I'm so happy to be here.
Oh, good. Well, we're anxious to hear what you have to say. What have to tell us?
I'm just tuning in more and more to the power of life after death, that death is in the physical body, but not in the soul. I have some relatives that passed that I've been tuning into as a medium, and it's just bringing me a lot of comfort and peace. And I just wanted to share that with you all.
I love that. I just wish that so many more people had that ability or opened themselves to experience that innate ability, because it would heal us so much.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, to be in touch with those on the other side.
Right. Well, and when people
absolutely.
Go on.
Okay. What's that?
Oh, I was just going to say, I love when they call in that, you know, even we look forward to someone sharing an experience because it helps everyone who's listening. And then, you know, they may realize that something was coming through for them that they might have just been brushing off and thinking, oh, that couldn't have happened, or I'm just imagining. But when somebody else is calling in and sharing something that's similar, then all of a sudden they can realize that, you know what, I really did have this experience, and that if I stay open and I keep paying attention, there'll be more. And then sometimes they get stronger, sometimes they stay the same. But it's just nice knowing that our loved ones are still around, and, you know, they are acknowledging us. And I think the show, in a way, helps people to open their eyes to that as well. So I think that's important.
Yes. And the, you know, it's amazing how, since I started tuning in through my own mediumship abilities and starting a mediumship practice circle group, that this unbelievable grief that I've had, especially over this sister that's no longer with us, that I've actually experienced not only a healing of grief, but the power and depth of soul to soul connection. And when I place the focus on that, I'm not depressed with morbid grief, which, you know, I had to go through that period as well. But I'm no longer trapped in that. And it's, you know, I receive messages from my loved one and memories, things that I had forgotten about, and just the love, you know, that love that is so much stronger than any of the trauma and the physical death and all of that. And it's just really healed me. It's really very healing, and it's part of my daily meditative practice. So I just hope that this could encourage somebody, you know, listening in, just to take that time and tune in with love to the person who's passed. So
yeah, well, that's really good, Rebecca, because so many people I've heard this say, well, yes, I can sit there and meditate, but nothing happens. And they get very discouraged. And I just think it's always so important when people who are getting in touch, you know, let us know. And I think that we all have that ability, but it just takes keeping the channels open, you know, whatever that means for us. And persistence too.
I think what you said, Rebecca, bears repeating. I wrote your words down because I think they can really help people. Your mantra almost is focus on the power and depth of soul-to-soul communication. If you're doing that, you're not focusing on pain and absence and loss and doubt.
Good, yeah.
But you just be in that space, and it's healing.
Mm-hmm.
And their possibilities are immense.
Yeah. Well, that's good. That's really good, Kim. Yeah. I mean, coming from you, Rebecca, that's wonderful.
Yes.
Because if we do go into it just drenched with our grief and also with the fear that nothing's going to happen, you know, but if we think the power of that potential and that ability to communicate, very, very well said, Rebecca.
Yeah, thank you. That's great.
Well,
is there anything else you feel like sharing? You're welcome to do so if you feel like it, Rebecca.
Well, I just want to say that the, you know, the weekly practice, so I practice twice a week for 2 hours with a wonderful group of folks, and it's a lot of meditate, you know, sitting in, we open up with grounding, prayer, meditation, and this, you know, this could be done in the privacy of one's home as well. And then after the praying and meditating and getting grounded, is sitting and listening and seeing what comes through. And, you know, I always ask for this sister. I always tell her how much I love her and to come through, and she's welcome, you know, welcome there. And, I've broken out into so many smiles and like genuine laughter, because I'll be reminded of, you know, memories, and she'll remind me of, you know, favorite foods or moments or, and so I used to think, you know, prior meditation is kind of like boring and, but, you know, nothing exciting happens. But actually the discipline of doing this twice a week at minimum and listening in, has brought me just really turning around the Titanic of grief and just bringing genuine childlike smiles and happy moments. So it's just a whole other way of looking at physical death, that there's such powerful love beyond that. So thank you. Thanks for the discussion.
Thank you, Rebecca.
Thank you.
It's certainly true. I know of a few people who, well, I think of one in particular who lost her son, and she cannot get over the grief of him no longer being present in this dimension. It's somehow, if we knew that if we just could know that that person is alive and well on the other side, and that it is in the nature, our nature, to be in touch. It's just that our culture has done everything to make us believe that there is nothing, because the culture itself didn't think there was. They thought they had all the evidence that there's nothing but matter. And that's gone on for so long that we have such a hard time reconnecting to that world when it's the most natural thing in the world. If we could just know that and open ourselves to it, because that kind of suffering kills you. I mean, it is just, it is so tragic to observe that.
Right. Well, you know, getting through the pain, you know, trying to get through the pain, that's, like you said, too, it's so difficult. And I think that Rebecca made a good point, which I know we've talked about also many times on the show, is meditation and, you know, going within and sitting. And, you know, it's like, as she mentioned about a large group, but I know that, you know, even if people can find that personal connection in meditation, and I know, like, you know, when I would tell people, sometimes they roll their eyes like, oh, no, I don't want to meditate. But I think it's just finding that space, you know, going into a quiet room. You know, you can have music or have the lights down, have candles or none of that. Just sit in a chair and relax and try to go within and connect with your loved one. And, you know, and you could try someone new every time you do it. You could try the same person, whatever you wish, and just go within and meditate and ask them to come through and, you know, show you something in some way, give you something. And, you know, I always say, I'm from the show me state. You have to show me. And so I ask them to show me something in my meditations. And that always kind of gives me that connection. And then when I, you know, I'm outside of the meditation, that when something happens around me, you know, and I stop and I think, oh, wow, you know, I was thinking of that person. And then, you know, right after that, there's something happened. And I'm like, okay, just nod a little thank you and move on. And I think it's opening yourself up to allowing, you know, your loved ones to come through, allowing spirit to come through and give you that sense of connection even deeper, where when you're, you know, connecting with a loved one and you're feeling that, you know, joy is, you know, instead of the sorrow, it does kind of change for you or shift out, so that when you do go through those moments where, you know, you're alone and you're without them and you're trying to figure out, you know, what next do I do in life? Because I now have to start over. This isn't the way I thought life was going to be, that now you're kind of connecting and finding those little joys, and those little joys will happen a little more and a little more, and it will kind of help you move forward as well, you know, through grief. And I think that's, you know, important as well.
Yes, I think too that, you know, we're sometimes undone by meditation. You know, we don't have to call it that, just have a quiet place.
Right.
And sometimes it's, you can invite them in a sense by just talking to them and telling them how much you love them, you know, really communicating with them rather than expecting them to immediately communicate with us. Is they must want to us to express to them our love for them and how much we appreciated them and all of the joy of the moments we had with them. And then to know, you know, how are they on that side and what are they doing, and just then leave it open. And if nothing happens for the several times, we just continue to do it, you know, to give them that gift of how grateful we are. I was at the dentist today, and she was talking about how some women come in who don't even brush their teeth. She was a hygienist, and because they're so depressed and lonely, and they're older women, and that last phase of life, and so many people have died whom they knew and spent their lives with. And I'm thinking, you know, how sad that is, that our misunderstanding of it all has brought people to that point, because the other side wants us to communicate with them. It is the most natural thing in the world. After my son died, there were two people who were therapist, and they feared that it was not appropriate for me to be in touch with my son, you know.
Wow.
That it wasn't, that those two dimensions shouldn't be, you know, maybe that was not appropriate to be in contact like that. And that's a terrible misunderstanding, I think, because it's the most, they need us and we need them. That's what the game is about, is we're co-creating together, not dividing ourselves off. And sometimes we're creating here in the physical world, and then we go into the non-physical. But we still work with the earth and want to be in touch with those who, with whom we have created in the physical world. It's such a misunderstanding.
Right. I agree, Betty. And I think that, you know, every experience that someone receives, it's so validating to moving forward, you know, and to having that experience and knowing that they're okay and knowing that you can move forward and knowing their love is still around you and we're still connected. And I think that that's really important too. You know, I mean, I've had many people who I've lost and I, you know, I, like you said, I just, sometimes I just walk around, I'll talk to them. Oh, hey, you know, so-and-so. And, you know, I was thinking of you or this happened and, you know, it made me think of you. And, you know, it's just like I make them part of, they're still part of my life in their own way. And you know, it's not that I can pick up the phone or text them real quick. I might not be able to do that, but I can still have that connection and know that they're out there and they're hearing me. And sometimes, you know, you feel that energy, you know, they're around and sometimes you don't feel it and you're like, oh, they must be visiting somebody else, you know? And it's kind of like, that's to me is important just to continue. It's like yes, the relationship changed, obviously, but in the same sense, it can still be a positive and it can still be a connection. And I think that's important, too, is for people to remember that. Like, you know, like you said, when the therapist said you didn't need to remember, I'm like, oh, my goodness. Of course, we want, you know, we want to keep that connection with our loved ones. And I think by doing that, it keeps them, you know, we're always connected. We don't have to let go and say, you know, we're only moving on and, you know, we're letting them go. We can just continue on with our life knowing that they're, you know, they're around us, you know, when we need them.
Yes. And I think, you know, sometimes we expect a kind of a verbal reply from them. But what I have found is that if we are thinking on them and loving them, and sometimes I will have a question about something I'm working on, and I just put that over to the other side for clarification, and I'll kind of have the thoughts will be coming to me later, you know, and then I think that's really clever of me. Oh, no, it wasn't.
Well, you are clever anyway, Betty, though. That's true. So I guess, do we need to give the phone number again? Do we have some callers or?
Sure. And I want to give a real formal thank you again for Rebecca calling in. I'm not sure at what point she might have stepped away and just tuned back in.
No, I'm still here.
Oh, you
I'm
are.
Still here. Thank
still
you.
Because I had asked the producer, is Rebecca still on the line? Because I didn't know if you would. You know, it just, you said so many things that are really helpful and some of them reminded me, even if you're not making the actual connection, you're getting there by making connection with your feelings and your gratitude and your appreciation. And it reminded me too of the Heart Math Institute and the studies that show that, you know, children in schools who've had anger issues and problems studying and just if they're taught to go to their heart, to literally put their hand over their heart and just take a breath. I mean, if that's all, quote, all you're doing in meditation, you're really opening a door.
Yeah. You know, yeah. But keep the hand on the heart to remember you're breathing through the heart and that every heart is connected to the heart of the universe. Yeah. It is there all the time.
Yeah.
And or to do the meditation, well, do the situation.
Your presence.
A presence. And ask a question. And if it doesn't come during that time, it will come later.
That's right.
And that's been happened so many times in heart math.
Yeah.
And working from the heart. I'm glad you brought that up because these children who had real aggressive issues or learning difficulties, when they started working from the heart, well, that changed. They were no longer aggressive.
That's right. Yeah. And so by the same token, if you're with those memories that gave you love and excitement and stability and fulfillment, you can't be, you know, probably feeling those polar opposites at the same time so much.
That's really important because our ancestors always said, and many of the Christian disciples of Jesus in the Nag Hammadi text, they always said that it's when you think something, you are there. So that would be the case if we really are thinking and remembering the situation with someone we love, we are there with them. Mm-hmm. Those thoughts take us. It's not a spatial issue. I mean, we are present with them.
Thoughts are things, right?
Yeah.
Right. Oh, well, we enjoyed speaking with you, Rebecca, and we're grateful that you took time to pick up the phone.
With
and,
us.
Yeah, and stuck with us. So we welcome you to call anytime.
Thank you.
And before we greet our next caller, I would just like to give the numbers again, 888-627-6008. Or 323-744-4831. Hello, Stefford. Thank you for holding and for calling in.
Thank you. This is Stafford Betty.
Stafford Betty.
I'm curious
Hello.
To know. Yeah.
Hello.
Hi. I, as some of you may know, I write a great deal about the afterlife. I've written 3 novels that are set in the afterlife. And I'm curious to know what you think happens over there. What do our deceased loved ones actually do? Do they enjoy themselves? Do they go to, how do they entertain themselves? What kind of jobs are they given to do? What makes life meaningful over there for them and enjoyable, other than meeting us and hearing from us? Do you have any ideas about that?
Well, you asked a lot of questions.
And it's very difficult to talk with you, Stafford, when you've written so much about that. We need
That's
to hear
right.
you on that.
Yes.
I think people should read your books, for one.
Right. I have written, and I have another book that's just come out on this very subject, and I think that is something that, I think that most of us think of the afterlife as a place of rest, a place of sort of... relaxing and not doing much. And I think of the afterlife as a vibrant, very interesting place with duties to do and jobs to perform and all kinds of very interesting. It's a fascinating world. And and I hope that everybody hearing us speak tonight at least thinks that may be the case. I know that Christians put so much emphasis on just resting. It's like... our lives have been so hard that it's wonderful to go over there and rest. And, you know, resting is great, but it becomes very boring if it doesn't lead to activity beyond the rest. We rest in order to be active. And this place that we go into and that our loved ones are living in right now is an extraordinarily active place with all kinds of occupations. Not all of them pleasant. There are duties to do, may take us into dark spaces where we may be finding our ancestors, and they may be needing our help. So there are all kinds of rescue operations over there, as well as simply enjoying each other's lovely company, and taking care of the business of the world. It doesn't just run automatically. We have to make it run. Anyway, those are my thoughts right off the top of my head.
Yeah.
And I absolutely agree with you, Stafford. The one thing that discouraged me with Christianity is that I could not bear that idea of going to the other side and nothing going on and resting
in peace for eternity.
Peace. And I know. Hard to hear that, you know. I don't like that at all. And I think that
I agree. That is a very boring idea of what the afterworld entails. And it's one that I think, I don't know, it leads to a kind of a lack of excitement about dying. Dying is not a sad ordeal. It's going to take us into an extraordinarily interesting world. I don't think that Christians have that emphasized enough from the pulpit. Apparently isn't emphasized. It's certainly not. I don't find that the Book of Revelation is particularly, I don't find it interesting. I think it's misleading, and I think we can do so much better. I mean, and we should do better. We're living the 21st century, for heaven's sake.
Well, I I agree. And several of the people who have been in groups that we work with, such as the Visioneers or who've come through here, I think one of the first things, of course, is getting in touch with someone who has just passed over and knowing in our culture to know. But they have really seen their children, for example, involved in incredible things on the other side. And And I think that that contact is teaching us something far more creative than the Christian view. Yeah. It's, I remember when we were kids, my mother said she wondered about our creativity when my brother and I named our teddy bear Teddy Bear. She said, she thought you're a little worried about your creativity. But I think that we have great creativity on the other side and here. And many of them on the other side have the jobs that they want to engage us in to help them with. Our co-creators.
Absolutely.
Well, and you know what? I think that. Oh, go ahead.
I think there's a great deal of we're not really aware, I think, on this side of how much activity goes into making contact with us. And I think that those on the other side really enjoy hearing from us. And there's an open window between our world and theirs that most Christians and most people on earth simply have no idea is going on. So, you know, my two cents worth.
It's valuable two cents, right?
Valuable 2 cents. And I'm glad you called in and put us in that direction because, no, I think it's our ancestors wanted us to know that we are immortal and divine and that we are creative. That's our role. Here and there.
Right. I think that all kinds of creativity goes on the other side. I think that books are written. I don't know exactly what they write them on. I don't know how that works. All kinds of activity. All kinds of theater.
And inventions.
Art, music is, I think music, and I keep hearing this from spirits who speak through responsible mediums, that music is the main art over there, and it's extraordinarily interesting and beautiful and goes well beyond what we know on our earth. So there are all kinds of wonderful things to look forward to and to participate in as active members.
Well, you know, and so many musicians say that they hear that music on the other side coming through to them, and that's how they write it.
So true. You can name Brahms, who thought that he heard the voice of God telling him what to write. I don't know that he got that right, but he certainly heard something. And I must say that when I write my own books and get stuck, and I often get stuck, I always feel that I'm being bailed out by someone who makes me see, oh, this is the way to go. Thank you. So I have that experience quite often in my own writing, and I know many, many other creative people do as well in all genres.
Everyone I've talked to who's a writer has said that, and I certainly have experienced that. I just don't know where to go, but I feel, I felt all along that I'm working with them on it, you know?
Right. I do feel that. I every morning I engage in a little Thanksgiving prayer, and one of those is directed at my muse or muses. I don't know who they are, but I have a feeling that they're active. I'm not sure why they're so active in my life, but I'm grateful for them. I also apologize for being such a pest because I do daily turn to them, and perhaps they'd rather do more important things than listen to Stafford Betty. I'm not sure about that. On the other hand, you know, I think they are happy to hear from us in general, as long as we don't make too much of a nuisance of ourselves.
But they must be happy to have someone who's here, ready to work. Let's go for it, you know. I think no pest at all.
I think basically you're right about that. And anyway, I'm gonna have to sign off right now. And I just wanted to drop in and let you know that I'm listening. I didn't even know how to listen, by the way. I thought maybe there was some way I could see you folks, but it's just simply radio. Is that correct?
Yes. Correct. Yes.
Yeah. It's not televised in some way.
Right. We're certainly glad that you did.
Yes. Thank you.
And I certainly appreciate
you. Thanks for the great work that you do. I really appreciate you.
Well, we appreciate you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, that was a very important addition, really, that the vast creativity that is taking place from the other side and from here too, and working together. I think we've had a, as I mentioned earlier, it's such a misconception that we shouldn't be in touch. I mean, that is the natural laws of the universe to co-create.
Yes.
Yes. I would like to add something to that, because I totally agree with Stafford Betty that they are busy on the other side. And as a host, I don't usually, you know, bring up anything as being a medium, which I am with Forever Family Foundation. But I do have to agree with him, because there have been many of times when people have come through and said what they are doing on the other side. And I can tell you, I totally agree that they do not sit around or sit on a puffy cloud. And like I said, you know, they are around us and they stop in and say hi, and then they, you know, they go on to what they're doing. But I've noticed, for me, even just people that have come through, you know, there are a lot of inventors. They're not inventors just from the past. They're inventors in the future. They're people helping people here on Earth create to help things in different, you know, any different kind of, you know, profession, job that you can think of. They are on the other side trying to help or help us, you know, go towards a direction. I've had people that, there was a special woman that came through that I knew that even during like 9/11, when she came through to me, and I hadn't seen this woman come through probably for, you know, years and years. And she popped in to let me know that she was helping people over who had passed during 9/11. And she was doing that as all this was playing out that day. And it really shook me. But it also told me that people on the other side, the spirits, that they still continue to work and help out and to guide and to give comfort and to share. And it was one of the most amazing visions. Well, I shouldn't say one of the most. I've had a lot of really amazing visions, and I don't really discuss it because, you know, this isn't the show for mediums. It's, I'm a host, but I wanted to address what he was, you know, speaking about, that they are on the other side, busy and always busy. And we know, we have a friend from Forever Family who we know, she is very busy and always going. And I think that that is amazing that they don't, you know, they continue to do what they love and to help out. It's not that they have to, it's that they want to. They want to continue onward, or they want to go back and, you know, help with something from the past, or what we would call the past. And I do think that's really amazing. So I really appreciate him calling in, and I would highly recommend people to check out his books, because I think that would be, you know, a very helpful to everyone. So that was great that he called in. So, you know, very, I don't know if he hears us, but thank you.
Yes, very good. Well, you know, I was thinking about the book I mentioned often, Helen Graves, Testimony of Light. And that certainly, she certainly agrees with what Stafford had said, is that when the woman did pass over and got in touch with Helen Graves, she told about all kinds of activity. I mean, there were all many levels, vibratory levels, mm-hmm. where people were. She was able to go with the man who had been a priest on the earth. And at first he wore that habit so she would feel comfortable. And then as she began to be there longer and assimilate, he didn't have to wear that anymore. But he took her to different dimensions of that world. And one was so dark, he said, you can never go here alone, because there are people here who have no belief whatsoever in anything beyond nothingness, just this darkness. And then he took her also to a place, she said she couldn't really enter it, but it was cities of light. And many, many people have talked about cities of light on the other side. And she said she the vibration was too strong for her. She could get close, but she couldn't go in. But she realized that there were people there working with people on Earth, that there were scientists who were handing down information to people on the Earth, and just all kinds of things that we couldn't even imagine, I guess. And then she herself, when she first got there, was in bed sick, because she'd been sick a long time. She was still in bed on the other side until she went through that process. And so I just think, yes, Stafford is so right that there are all aspects way beyond probably what I can imagine, but vastly creative. And we are capable of creating with them.
Mm-hmm.
Why not to create a world to heal this world? And the healing comes from co-creating with those on the other side, knowing that this universe is vast and loving and so many things are possible.
Well, and I think if we're open, you know, if we stay open and we be patient and we pay attention to what's going on around us, and they do give us, you know, signs or symbols or, you know, information, and it helps us. And sometimes we might not even realize it, but it's, you know, they're helping us from the other side for sure. I've always believed that. And I feel like I've been blessed with that many times as well, is that, you know, something will happen and, you know, all of a sudden you have this, I don't want to say you just have this answer, but it, in a way, it kind of does come that way to me. And I do this probably through meditation, but, you know, you do get symbols or you do get answers and things that, you know, you're looking for. Or even like when I say inventions, of when something comes through, I feel like they're creating something with me, and I might not always know it or feel it, but something may play out and I think, wow, okay, I'm not that good, but somebody who really could use it, I'm sure they're really helping those people, you know?
Yeah. So
that's wonderful.
It is wonderful.
Yes. And there are cultures that have known this and it's been part of their cultural worldview, as in ancient Egypt, that they really worked with the spirits and nature and help to connect them to the spirits on the other side and themselves as well. There were many, many rituals of how to do that so that life could flow from the other side into nature. I mean, they were on so many levels. There were rituals for co-creating, to heal nature, to heal the animal world, to heal them, and to work together to create a culture that was worthy of the name.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Another thing that Stafford Betty had said that reminded me of something that you had written about, Betty, and it was a visionary experience you had in which you were told, we can do nothing but create. Assuming, which we do, knowing that we are eternal, mm-hmm. what are we going to just like do zip?
Yeah,
no, we can do nothing. And since every word, every thought, every motion has a consequence and effect,
yes.
there we're creating
all
with
the time.
Every single breath, literally.
That's right. With every breath.
With the butterfly wing.
Exactly. With every thought we're creating. So let's make it good.
That's right.
And that was very powerful to me. And I think I've mentioned that on the program before, that in that vision, it was when I realized that I'm it, we're all it. And that we are creators. And then I suddenly saw myself sitting in a forest and saying, but I can't create a world. And then that voice said to me, you just did create a world in which you cannot create.
We can do nothing but create.
Yes, and then we can do nothing but create. But you know, that really was so powerful to me to realize my negation of my ability
was your creation.
Was what I had created.
No.
But I also had another vision that was so beautiful and gentle and powerful, in which the Earth Mother, Pachamama, came to me and she sang, create your worlds to keep me well. Create your worlds to keep me well. It's as though the Earth cannot be healthy if we don't create our worlds.
That's true. That's true, Betty.
Yeah.
I mean, that was starting to make my language come through.
I didn't give a proper introduction this evening. I switched it up a little bit. So Janet Mayer is a Forever Family Foundation certified medium and author of the book Spirits, They Are Present. So take it away, Janet.
Yes.
Tell them about the voices. Tell them whatever you want to tell them.
Well, no, it just, when you were saying Pachamama, and it just made me think of the language was, they come up a lot of times. I have the spontaneous language that comes through, but it's interesting because I do feel like the spirits on the other side have a lot to say and they connect with us. And I personally do believe in reincarnation. I don't believe that when we pass, we sit on a puffy cloud from, you know, forevermore. I do feel like that we continue on. So I feel like maybe the languages even either relate to that, which they spontaneously came through, or they relate to something with a past life, which that could also be. But it's just really interesting because that is one reason why I love this show so much, is that, you know, I have had so many different signs and, you know, with the languages that come through, and I know that that spirit is around. And I think it's really great when, you know, Stafford Betty was saying how, you know, they are busy. And I always imagine that. And I've only imagined it because I've seen different things when, you know, spirits do come through. And so to me, it's just really important to, you know, make sure that, you know, when people, you know, their loved ones probably are maybe over there and they do have to maybe heal through some trauma they have been through, or they do have to move on, or they do connect with family, which I always think is wonderful, because one of my favorite stories is when, well, it's a favorite story now. It wasn't at the time, believe me. But when I was younger, I guess I was in my 20s, and I was reading one night, and, you know, all of a sudden I put the book down. I told my husband, I'm like, there's spirits gathering. They're in the room. It's getting full. And he's like, what? And by this time, you know, he now knew what was going on. He supported me in all this. And so I said, we have to get out of here. And I made him drive around to different people's houses, because I told him, I said, they're gathering. I said, it's like, imagine yourself being in an, you know, in an elevator, and at every floor, they keep putting more and more people in it, in the next floor. And it's so full. It's so full that it's just bursting at the seams. And you're like, I just have to get out. And so we had to get out of the house. And I'm like, you know, somebody's going to pass. I know they're telling me they're gathering. They're like, they're almost ready. It was like a party. They were getting ready for this big gathering and this function and this party. And I'm like, and I made him drive around to like family and make sure everybody was okay. I just had to get out of the house. And, you know, we found out a couple of days later, then, you know, I think it was his uncle who passed, or godfather. And it was, you know, it was comforting in the sense of they were letting me know in advance that somebody was going to pass. But at the time it was very difficult, you can imagine. But afterwards, like later on, I realized they were letting me know how beautiful it was and how wonderful it was to have all these people gathering for somebody that was going to be coming over soon. And that they couldn't wait, and they wanted me to feel it, which was, you know, in a sense beautiful, but in another sense scary. But then it ended up in the end being beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my story for the night. But I just, you know, I think about that all the time and how precious it is that, you know, we get to, you know, carry all these memories with us. And that was really special to me, that to share with someone else and say, you know what? When your loved one's gone, they know they're already gathering to meet them, or they're gathering to, you know, to move on and help them through whatever next they're going to, you know, the new adventure. And I think that's really important that we need to know that.
Yeah. Sort of like waking up and realizing, oh, we're home. That's, you know, after having been on a mission.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Or the door. Mm-hmm. The gate,
yeah,
for you, the gate of death, and on the other side, it's the gate of birth.
Yeah, that was through. Like that vision that or dream I had when I was pregnant with my son, that I saw him carrying a sack on his back. It wasn't a lot, and he was going through what for him was death. The gate had death on his side, but it was birth on my side.
Mm-hmm.
And then he walked a little distance and then up into the mountains and went out in the light again, went home again. So clearly I realized later it was telling me he wouldn't be here for long. He didn't have a lot that he was going to do here, but he had something important and a reason for him to be born. And it was interesting that both he and my husband in after their deaths, it was very clear communication that they could do more on the other side at that time than they could hear, that it was necessary, that was choice to step into that side because their creativity there could be more effective. And so,
yeah,
I agree.
But I think too, you know, I think it's important for, you know, the people who are listening and, you know, who have lost a loved one to, you know, just be open and to, you know, I always say pay attention. You guys know I say that all the time. And
that's your motto.
You know, that is, that's my motto. Pay attention to what's going on with, you know, your loved ones here. And I think that, you know, they can come through, you know, in a dream, they can come through just during the day at any moment, you know, and it can be a vision, a touch, something that you see on your, you know, on your phone or on the TV or wherever. And I think it's just important to be open and, you know, and sometimes that's what triggers you to become even more open is all of a sudden it's like, wow, I get it. I get it. I know what that feels like now. And then they're open and then they can, you know, just talk to their loved ones, ask them to come through in meditation. And I guess I always say meditation because to me, I think it's a good time to sit and focus and relax. But I do agree that they are around us. You can talk to them and I walk around the house and talk to people I love. But I think that, you know, being open and paying attention are really important because, you know, people are always like, well, I'm looking or I'm searching. And I'm like, you know, you just have to, for one, be open, you know, and allow it. And then when you just open up to pay attention, you know, don't, you don't have to go searching, just pay attention. And they, you know, they will give you some kind of sign. And I really believe that because yeah. I feel like, I mean, yeah, that's how it works.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think, you know, if we, you know, in our daily lives, we are not hearing these things that we're talking about right now. I mean, just that whole image of all of these people crowding around, awaiting the return home of someone is, it's powerful. And I think, you know, when Stafford talked about all of the activity and the creativity, this is to have these images, I think, is a very, very powerful thing. If we heard as much each day about this kind of creativity, we would be much stronger and much more connected. But we don't hear that. It's as though that doesn't exist when we go out of the house and into the world.
Yeah,
you know, right. To be careful even who we talk to. But I just think just that image, you know, mm-hmm. of imagining and people, of course, who are ready and crossing over, they are always reporting on people being there waiting for them mm-hmm. a few days even before they pass, but they're there. But that image that you gave, Janet, thank you. It's powerful. You know, it's so alive. And if we just had more images of how alive and active and loving that world is.
I mean, just to think if people would be, you know, going up to someone else and being, oh, hey, you know what? You know, my loved one or so-and-so who passed, they came through and gave me this sign. Oh, that's so great. You know what? Not too long ago, so-and-so came through. And I think, you know, if our culture wouldn't have blocked all this intuition for everybody, or, you know, the culture of blocking everything like this, I think people would be so much more open and not have that fear and not have that, you know, that energy of the fear. And they would know that it's okay. And I think that I wish that, and I hope that, you know, Forever Family has been doing that, which I think is amazing. And I think all these, you know, like Stafford Betty, that's wonderful. So I think it's important. And Betty, your book is wonderful. So I think that to keep doing that and putting it out there is important.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's nothing more healing than contact with the other world, with the infinite, because it's like letting our hearts connect with the heart of the universe, which is loving and ethical and joyful. And it's a highest frequency and it can only connect with its own kind, that high frequency. And I think that heals us knowing these things and experiencing them, even if it is just an image. When I was a child growing up and, on my mother's side, they were all orphans and their parents had died early, especially the mother early. And I was so afraid of losing my mother. And death was the darkest, most horrible thing because it was life without her. And there were these country funerals that were so dark and depressing. And that was what death was for me. And I grew up then thinking, there's more to this. I will not settle for that. And I remember going with my husband to Hungary into the village and the old people, you know, they'd talk about, oh yes, so-and-so died. And so it was the end of the world and they stopped living. And I just thought, no, it cannot be this. Hmm. But we have to experience the other because our culture is so filled with the darkness and negativity. you know, mm-hmm. just absolute, nothing but loss, you know.
Well, that's true. We're so much more than what we've been taught, you know, and there's so much more to us as a whole between, you know, when we're here and when we go on to the next space, you know. I think that that's really important to remember, is that we are so much more than what we were taught.
Oh, there is. Yes, I think that we must always keep our minds open to that, is that for more than 2,000 years, 2,400 years, when the Deuteronomists began the censorship, we've received inverted myths of negativity, not who we really are and not what the world really is like that we live in. So we really, I think we today are in the transition. We're changing that, but we still have all of those old dead ideas in us and fears, you know, that we have to dissolve. But, you know, we have a few minutes, don't we?
You know,
Janet, I kind of would like you to tell about your experience with the voices. You had said the voice almost came. Tell us a little bit about that. That's a phenomenal thing in and of itself, for heaven's sake.
That's a one-of-a-kind story most of us.
Bob and Fran were here and told us about you, and I thought, oh, my, that is just amazing. I want to meet that woman. Mm-hmm. Here you are. Tell us something.
Well, I started spontaneously speaking languages after a holotropic breathwork, and that was probably over 30 years ago, and I didn't know that the language would continue to come through, and it did, and it still does. And it took me many years to find someone to translate the languages. And it was a man from the Smithsonian who was from the Amazon. His name was Ipu Piara, and he ended up translating many of the tapes of the languages I speak that I do not know what I am saying, but I get a sense of some of them, and what I will get some visions of pictures, but I have, you know, either spirits that are spontaneously coming through me because it is more than one. And I speak, there's supposedly like so far four different dialects that come through, which is Yanomami or Yanomami, Funio, Takano, and Kanamari. And basically these languages, they talk about the earth and to be more earth honoring and to, you know, most of them are blessings, are they talk about being, you know, earth honoring, and it's really amazing. And so during, you know, moments of any time, day or night, you know, the languages can spontaneously start coming through, or, you know, I've worked with them enough that they know not to come through when I'm, you know, busy. Like when it first started happening, I would be, you know, in the grocery store and it would come through, or I would, you know, be out and about and it would be like, oh my gosh, what's going on? And I, really basically just learn to, you know, have an understanding with them that, you know, I will allow them to come through and, you know, other moments, but, you know, when I'm doing something, you know, that's important, or if I'm out and about, I, you know, please wait until I get home. And so when you started talking about Pachamama, it was like all of a sudden it triggered it, and it started to come through. And I thought, oh, wow, that's, you know, I need to wait for that. But then I said it and I thought, oops, didn't mean to do that. But yeah, so I have languages that come through, and it's really beautiful, and they're very beautiful and heartwarming. And it could be, you know, spirits basically from the rainforest. And, you know, we haven't figured out, we know that some of them are shamans coming through because there's some recordings that haven't been able to be translated because they said that I would have to speak to another shaman to get that recording. And so, of course, I have not been to the rainforest. So we will see if that ever takes place or not. But I do have some really, you know, wonderful moments of knowing what some of the recordings say. So, and like I said, the language comes through, and it's very comforting as well, which is, you know.
Well, yes. And I think just now, you know, when you felt it coming through, that was telling us they were listening. They were present. They were present to hear that, letting you know that. And I'm wondering too that how, even though you didn't know what you were saying, that there was some power in the very frequency of the language that they were speaking through you. There was something creative and connecting going on there, or they wouldn't have done it.
They were very insistent and intense, right, Janet?
So
right, they were. Yes, it was. It was very strong, and I was like, huh. And it just almost came out as I was listening. And so, you know, Betty, as you were speaking about the earth and that, it was very interesting because I wasn't focused that way. And so with my focus changing, I guess it allowed for me to be open and for them to come through. So I thought that was very interesting. And, you know,
very, very, it's such a demonstration of the spirits being present and how deeply they love the earth. These Yanomami shamans and people that they are creating with you, exactly. Co-creating whatever it is that happens. I remember hearing you at a conference speak that, and I was deeply moved emotionally on a deep feeling level by it. And maybe that's part of it, to awaken this feeling for the earth, for life, for all that we're involved in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, 1 minute left. Sorry.
We need
to. Oh, no, that's fine.
Janet.
Well, we will go ahead and end with the Mahayama prayer. How's that?
Yes, good.
Okay. May all beings everywhere with whom we are inseparably interconnected be fulfilled, awakened, liberated, and free. May there be peace in this world and throughout the entire universe. And may we all together complete the spiritual journey.
Thank you. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Thank you. Good night.